The following podcast contains no adult language, adult themes, or adult content. Bring your kids in. From the heart of Broadway here in historic downtown Cape Girardeau.
It's goddamn opposite day up in here.
Oh god, you didn't even wait. Is it opposite day?
I mean, judging by that intro, it has to be.
I was going to try it. We're trying to do this one smooth with no cursing. Mandy's not even here, so what would be the point of it?
I mean, were we going to try no cursing? I didn't get that memo.
Apparently a lot of people didn't get memos lately.
I got no memo.
She's not here, and she's the one that enjoys the F words the most, so.
That's true.
So I'll probably try to avoid it.
But she spends a lot of her time censored. Which for Mandy is a big deal because she really likes to swear.
Who doesn't? I feel like whenever I swear on the show, I feel like this must be what God feels like when he's swearing. So
that's what he felt like when he created the words.
Yeah, he created them. I'm pretty sure the F word was invented by Powers Booth.
Rest in peace.
Or maybe the other one. I don't remember his name. What was his name?
Who?
He's on American Gods now. And he was the other in that show, the Western, what was it
Westworld?
Called? Westworld? No, the other one on HBO, Cowboys. What is it called?
Dude, I don't
know. The Cowboys Saloon?
You got me. I don't watch much HBO.
Riverwood, Deadwood, Deadwood.
Deadwood. Yeah, that's a show.
It wasn't Powers Booth, it was the other one. Jesse. Jesse, you're not helping me here.
I'm sorry. I don't know. Because I never watched that show.
He was also in Pirates of the Caribbean. He was in On Stranger Tides.
Was he Barbarossa? Or no, you're talking about Blackbeard?
Yes.
Oh, God. Oh, God. What is his name?
Lindsay?
I don't know.
I'm
awful with names. You
know
this.
Somewhere right now, Cody and Hunter are itching. Asa may also be itching. Dalton may also be itching, but that's... Never mind. never mind. While you're looking it up, I'm trying to think of it before you look it up. It's Ian
Edward Teach.
Nope.
No, Ian McShane.
Ian McShane. Edward Teach.
Apparently Edward Teach is Blackbeard's real name.
I did not know that.
I didn't either.
Welcome to Podzilla where you learn things.
Because I saw Edward Teach and I'm like, wait.
that don't sound right. That dog don't hunt.
Yeah,
Ian McShane. I'm pretty sure the F word was invented by either Powers Booth or Ian McShane for the show Deadwood.
Yeah, Ian McShane is, Blackbeard, and I did not know that Blackbeard's real name was Edward Teach. Fun little trivia for you. Also played by Hugh Jackman in the movie Pan, and Ray Stevenson in the movie Black Sails.
I still haven't got to watch Pan. I wanted to watch that.
I personally would rather see Ray Stevens in that role instead of Ray Stevenson. Jesse is searching his virtual Rolodex for the name Ray Stevens.
Coming up, file not found.
They call him the Streak. Boogadair, boogadair. Fast thing on 2 feet. No, that's not ringing a bell.
I got nothing.
Lindsay?
Uh-uh.
Really? You guys don't know Ray Stevens? Okay. Well, I feel bad. Ethan, do you know Ray Stevens?
Oh.
Well, while Jesse's looking up Ray Stevens now, let me introduce the cast for tonight. Mr. 100, the Irish daddy himself, Shannon Young here with you.
I don't understand your names.
Jesse Kimball, who doesn't really have a nickname, but he doesn't need one. Co-owner and host of Nerd Up down there at the end of the table. Jesse, we got a great show on Sunday. We're going to talk about E3.
Oh, yeah.
We've been itching to talk about E3.
Special guest starring Mr. 100.
Mr. 100 himself will be there.
Are you recording in the morning?
In the morning.
Okay. That way,
a.m.
Yes.
Because I was going to say, I don't know how that's going to work plans.
A bunch of us are going to be going to St. Louis that evening to watch Money in the Bank instead of watching it here at the Gaming Ground Studio. Myself, Lindsay, Allie, Dalton, Asa, and I think Dalton's friend Derek, and Asa and Lindsay are sharing the tickets, and then me and Allie have tickets. So it should be a good time. I think there were two other tickets, but I don't know what happened to them.
And whoever got those two tickets.
Yeah, good. Hey, congratulations. Hope it didn't set you back too much. And Lindsay Wolfgang's here.
Hi.
Noticeably absent is Mandy Kennedy, Lil Fitty. Yep. She had prior engagements tonight, could not make it, so we're going to try to keep it.
She had to work at the liquor library.
Chill.
The liquor library.
Okay, so before we start, because I got some things I want to talk about tonight. If you are a fan of Podzilla 1985, and God hoping you are, or else why would you be here? You know that we did not air last night's episode of Pro Wrestling Unscripted Presents. A lot of people have been messaging me asking what's going on. what happened. I will explain that there here in a second. But before we do that, Jesse, I talked to you about this before the show, and I want to mention it now. We get a lot of criticism for being what some people would consider to be anti-Republican, anti-conservative. And we'll never get rid of that stigma.
No.
We will always be anti-conservative for as long as it's gonna we're going to do the show. But what happened the other day, and you guys have heard about this, hopefully, if you haven't heard about it, I'm about to lay some truth on you. They do a yearly, I think it's yearly baseball game between the Democrats and the Republicans, just as a fun thing.
Yeah.
Kind of like an all-star game, but for old white people. Couple of minorities, but we try to keep them out. And not me. I'm not in politics, by the way. This is them. But in a very unfunny thing, there was a man who shot up during, well, shot up. He shot at the Republicans during their baseball practice a couple days ago.
What?
Yeah. And it left a couple of them in the hospital, left one guy. I need to find his name because I've forgotten it. I had it memorized earlier, but he's a Republican lawmaker and he's actually in critical condition right now. The guy that did it was a huge Bernie Sanders supporter who has a Facebook history of anti-Trump and anti-conservative rhetoric. And I want to say right now that we and everyone has come out and said it, and you know, God bless the House and the Congress for coming together and united against this. Even President Trump, who came out and spoke against this very quickly, we publicly renounce anything like this. This is terrible. This is absolutely terrible. Yeah. What this person did. There should never be violence toward anyone over a difference of opinions, whether you agree with them or not. This is over the line by far. And apparently, this man is dead. That did it. He's from Belleville, Illinois, too, which isn't far from here.
Mm. No, it's not.
Which is the crazy thing. But we absolutely want to show our support for the Republicans that were hurt by this. And, you know, we're praying for you, and we hope you come out okay. And, you know, this is a terrible thing that happened, and God willing, this never happens again. Because in this climate that we have now of such hot political rage on both sides.
Yeah.
It takes something like this to bring everyone together, but it's good. And I think we should come together. And, you know, I wish I could put it more eloquently, but I can't. It was truly shocking and sad. And I want to know your thoughts on it while I plug in the laptop that I forgot. So please.
While the battery is dying. No, it's one of those things. Like, I don't think that, it's going to bring necessarily anyone together, but I do think that on both sides of the aisle, everyone agrees that no, this was wrong.
Yeah.
Like, it's obviously, you're listening to this show, especially this particular show, you understand that Shannon and I in particular are very against many Republican conservative ideals.
Yes.
However,
but not against the people.
We don't wish violence upon the people. We just really wish they would change their minds about some of their terrible, terrible decisions.
But you know, it's a time like this. I hate to even bring in politics to it because this is just a tragedy in itself. And you know,
That just because we disagree with them doesn't mean we can't.
And my raw gut reaction is to say, you know, Malcolm X said something after John F. Kennedy was assassinated about the chickens coming home to roost. And I think you could make that argument in this case that the level of anger that the country is feeling right now, on both sides, versus Democrats, versus Republicans, especially Republicans, because they are in control of just about everything. And whether you agree with them or not, they are. They're in control of just about everything.
They have a majority in all three branches of government right now.
And it's one of those things where it would be very easy to say the decisions that they've made, the most unpopular ones, will create people like this who are going to take shots at them, who are going to think, well, there's nothing I can do other than this. You know, you can't beat them politically right now. So what I'll do is I'll beat them physically. I'll hurt them and kill them and get changed. And you shouldn't do that. If you're thinking about that, get that thought out of your head. That's a stupid idea.
Seriously.
That's not how you change the world. That's, you know, that's not how you get your point across. So,
well, there's a reason Malcolm X isn't celebrated and Martin Luther King is.
Malcolm X is somewhat celebrated. I can make
in certain communities.
I could argue. I'm not going to, but yeah. So our thoughts and prayers with them. 100%. I just wanted to say that. I wanted to say that we do support the Republican Party. We do.
What? Hold on.
No, we support all parties. We're independent. We don't lean as left as everyone thinks we do. We just go where we think. I don't. I like to think I don't. I pick and choose what the best candidates are and what the best ideas are. Right now, I just don't agree.
Well, no, yeah, candidate-wise, but if we're talking about ideals, Like, we lean pretty far left on the show.
I have a lot of conservative views that I don't know if I've ever said before, but I there are some things that I'm very conservative on.
I can think of one that surprised me of your conservative ideals, but I don't think you named two.
Abortion.
That was the one.
That's the one. And I don't know. Do they have another one?
They have a lot of them. I don't think you agree with any of the other ones, though.
There are some times that I wonder about government assistance. There are some times that I wonder how effective government assistance is in some cases and how people exploit it. But I don't know enough about it to even get into it. So that's just another gut reaction. But I am anti-abortion. Like, I am. That's the one thing that I can say that I truly am. But I'm also pro-gay rights. So I'm... I'm complicated.
Yeah, the anti-abortion thing always surprises me. I've never understood that.
I could get into that, but let's not. Let's not talk about that right
all
now.
All right.
Let's talk about what happened last night. So
back to where you started 10 minutes ago.
Yeah. Well, I thought it was important to mention the Republican thing because, you know, we always talk about tragedies and terrorist attacks and stuff like that. And we mention it when bad things happen. Just because this happened to Republicans doesn't make it any less of a tragedy or of a terrorist attack.
Right.
Like, you cannot pick and choose that this was bad, they deserve this. No, they didn't deserve it. And if you think that they deserved it because you don't agree with their policies, you are part of the problem. You are. So that's all I'll say. What happened last night? Why didn't we post Pro Wrestling Unscripted? We were so excited about doing Pro Wrestling Unscripted Presents, and Asa was hosting and all this good stuff. What happened is Billy Hills, Sarah Summers, and Roger Mathis came in. They did the show, and I think wires got crossed to where they wanted to do it in character and as their heel persona, whereas Asa and I thought it was going to be a behind-the-scenes thing where we could talk about wrestling, like with the people playing these characters, not the characters themselves. And what happened is that Billy, Roger, and Sarah are really good at being antagonistic. They're really good at it. Last night, they were too good, to the point that I felt uncomfortable posting the show due to some of the content that was in it. And this is coming from me. This is coming from a guy who has gotten himself in trouble a lot by posting content that was controversial. But this particular kind of controversy was not something I wanted our name behind. So that's as much as I'll say on it, because it gets a lot deeper, but a lot of it doesn't need to be known. All I will say is Billy, Sarah, and Roger are truly good at being antagonistic, heel, asshole, dicks, whatever you want to call them. And they were fully powered up last night. And we will post that show later in an edited form, taking out some of the content that I don't take it off because I don't agree with what they said. That's not my place. You know, that's not my place to say you can't say that on our show. You can say whatever you want on our show. It's open.
I mean, to be fair, we absolutely can say what people like,
but I won't,
can do on our show,
but I won't.
And it is our place.
But I won't.
That's fine. Like, and I mean, if you want to make the decision, that's absolutely fine.
I would assume you would feel the same way, don't you?
It depends. Like,
if we had someone on and they were pro Trump, or if they came on, if they were pro Klan, they can say what they want. We would just argue it.
I actually don't want anybody pro Klan on our show at any
point. That was just an example. Like, I'm not inviting any Klan members on anytime soon.
Yeah, no, like if somebody is pro Trump.
Nate hasn't been on in a year.
If somebody was pro Trump and they wanted to be on the show and they wanted to have genuine conversation, I would be fine with that. And yeah, I would, if we could keep the conversation civil, cool.
Yeah.
Like, I'd be okay with that. But yeah, no, I don't want like any kind of like supporter of a hate group on our show. And like, one could argue that the two are one and the same, but I don't make that argument. Like, I think that you could be a Trump supporter and not be
hateful.
Hateful.
Absolutely. But I kind of disagree with you. I would like to have somebody on that is a part of a hate group because I would like to understand why they think the way that they do. I want to hear it from their mouth why they think that. I would like to debate them on it. I think
there's no debating hate.
But you can't just ignore people that are like that. Otherwise, there will never be any kind of progression.
I'm not suggesting ignoring them.
Well, like, what do you suggest? I mean, you have to debate them. You have to, someone has to find, to convince the other that they're wrong.
That's not true.
Why? Like, why? What is your policy? What would you do with people that spew hate? Leave them to their own sect?
Just make sure that they know that you disagree and move past it. You're not going to change their mind. Like, if somebody legitimately hates someone else for irrational reasons, there's no rational way to talk them to the other side.
I feel like that's a negative way to look at it. And I know you're right, but I feel like that's a negative way to look at it because I'd like to think that civilized people can be taught that they're wrong.
They can't
Most
be taught.
Most people that have that hate aren't civilized.
Well, no, I mean, even outside of that, like you, that's not something that you can teach. That's something they have to learn through their own experiences. Like you can't just like tell them like, listen, you're wrong because people are people. Well, I disagree with that statement. Cause like they have a fundamental disagreement that people are people. And there's no way that you are going, like anything that you say is going to change their mind about that. They have to experience something to truly change their minds. And in all likelihood, they never will.
You don't think coming on the show is an experience?
It's an experience, but not one that's going to change their mind. If anything, they're going to plant their feet so hard. Mm. And they're just going to come at us with everything they've got.
Like Nate did during the episode we did about gay marriage. When he and Louis kind of tried to double team me and we debated. I thought it was a debate. It wasn't because Nate, it was very one-sided because Nate really didn't bring any argument other than the Bible. But whatever.
Yeah, no, and like, I mean, that whole show is just, eh.
I don't understand what to do with people like that. Like, not so much Nate, but the hateful people, because I don't want to sweep them under the rug and just leave them to their own devices. I'd like to think that people can be rehabilitated and taught that the old way of thinking isn't true, but I know it's not. Otherwise it wouldn't exist today.
I mean, the only way you can change someone from hating, like, they have to want to stop hating. And if they don't want to stop, then you're not going to make them.
So what do you do with them? You would agree that that is a problem in the United States, wouldn't you? That hate groups, like,
yeah,
you would be like me, and your first instinct would be to say, we don't want them in America. Yes?
I mean,
and I'm not trying to like trick you into admitting something. No, I think you and I both agree. We don't want hate speech in America.
Yeah, no, I would love to remove all hate from America.
But what do you do with it? Is my question. Like, the freedom of speech itself seems to defend people who want to say awful things. As long as it's not slanderous, which a lot of it is, but mostly it's just vulgar words and racial slurs, you know? And that really, I don't think that was what they thought when they created the freedom of speech. When they made that particular item, it probably wasn't so people could, you know, terrorize each other.
Honestly, I just want to leave them alone. Like the way they keep going is by giving them attention. Like that's someone a platform to speak, having someone with like on our show, like inviting someone on our show to spread hate speech. Like it's a terrible idea to me. I don't want to give someone a platform.
Past being on our show. No, I'm past that. I just mean in general because, you know, I worry about a child who was brought in and if we leave them alone and leave them over there, they can hate whoever they want. Then that kid's never going to stand a chance. Look at Nate, who was raised by his mother and taught these things are truth. And by the time he finally got to us and we tried to tell him, hey, man, maybe you're wrong on a couple things. He's, like you said, he's so dug in on his beliefs that you can't change his mind.
Yeah, no, and that was the thing with Nate. Like, I gave Nate all the chances in the world. I really did. I really tried to get that dude to see that he was wrong, see that, like, hating is bad, and to see that, like, not every non-white person, but he's not racist. But he's...
I don't think he's racist against all races.
Just, you know, all the not-white ones.
Just...
It's the thing. Like, yeah, there's so many
I don't
want
to get on this show and call Nate a racist. I don't want to because I don't think he's a racist. I think he's misinformed and ignorant.
Well, he absolutely is, but he doesn't want... The problem is that he doesn't want to be informed. Like, he doesn't want to know. He doesn't want to learn. He just wants to go about with what he's accepted as truth and just, yeah, keep that going.
So what do you do with someone like that? You leave him in society where he can be a seed to possibly
infect others,
create more. Do you remove him from society for his beliefs? Do you send him somewhere else? You know,
in my opinion, you just let him be.
You get to a certain...
You remove that person from your life, and if enough people remove that person from their lives, then maybe they will realize, you know what? Maybe I am an asshole.
I find that as I get older, it starts to become more apparent to me that you can't change the world. Like, everyone says that, you know, you can't change the world. You can't save everybody. But I think when you're younger, you're a little idealistic and you think maybe
you can make a difference.
Maybe the world will change itself. You know, you see the progression that we've made in the United States in the past couple of years. You see the way they do it in other countries and you think maybe that'll catch on and things will be better. But the older you get, the more years that go by and nothing changes, you start to realize I can't do anything. Like, what's the point?
But see, like, I would argue against that. Like, look at 100 years ago. Like, we would have been talking about black people very differently.
That's true. But do you think we've hit a stalemate? Like, can it get better than this?
Yeah.
Do you think it will get better than this?
I do think it will get better.
How long?
I have no idea.
I'm just guesstimate.
I'm optimistic.
Lindsay, what about you?
Depends on how much the younger generations stop listening to the older generations as far as all the hatred goes.
I mean,
because that's what it keeps coming from, is being taught down. It's like, oh, well, my parents think this way, I have to think this way.
People got
to
die sometime.
It's one of those things. It's becoming rarer and rarer. That, yeah, obviously they're still very loud about it, but just in general, like, it's less common now than it was even 20 years ago.
Well, according to some people, it doesn't exist at all anymore. And according to other people, it's the only thing that exists.
And according to other people, it's reversed.
Oh yeah, we're suffering. Yeah. Us as white males, we're really the victims in America at this point.
Oh yeah, because we're the minority. Everything's our fault now.
Yeah. Well, we don't get the chances. You know, they have degrees for people of color and women and stuff like that. But where's the white people degrees? Where's white entertainment television? Where's White History Month?
Every other month, every other channel.
I'm joking, of course.
I know.
Okay,
I know.
I want to say that to the audience out there. So they remember that time I told Ali to shut up and.
I remember that.
I don't want to hit another moment like that.
No, so. Yeah.
No devil's advocate tonight.
Yeah, I understand you're joking. It was a bit. It was a bit. Because, yeah, as much as I'm ashamed to admit it, when I was a freshman in college, I actually did think that way a little. Like, that was kind of the popular thought process with,
that
like,
you were
young white people. Yeah. Well, no, that not that I was the victim, but that as a white middle-class male, everything was my fault.
Well, you remember when we started this show, I never thought everything was my fault, but it's easy as a white person to feel like white people are demonized more in public. If you look at the right things, if you listen to the right people, it's easy to convince yourself that, yeah, we're suffering. We're not.
No.
No.
You know? No, we're not. And I never really thought that we were suffering. But I definitely did have the thought of, like, man, it's bullcrap that I am the bad guy for, like, you know, everything. And, you know, as I got older, I started, you know, realizing a lot of things about how society really is, particularly towards people of color. I was like, oh.
That's what it's like.
Young Jesse was dumb.
I still get upset when I get upset when white people are grouped together. I do. I can't shake that feeling whenever it just says white people don't understand and stuff like that. I always go, no, I understand.
How about we change it to rich white people don't understand?
Well, it's not just rich white people. It can be poor white people. It can be anybody. It can just be white people in general. But what I learned was that, you know, when you hear stuff like that, they're not accusing you. You know, people aren't accusing you of being
racist
or things like that. But if you don't put yourself in someone else's shoes and try to evolve and adapt, you're part of the problem.
Because there are literally
standoffish.
There are literally things that as white people we will never understand about the struggle of being a person of color.
And that we take for granted.
Yeah,
stuff that to us is like, you know, like Philando Castile. You know, Philando Castile, the guy that got shot in his car because he had his permit and he was reaching for it. You know, I know a lot of white people that looked at that and said, well, he shouldn't have reached for the gun. He shouldn't have reached for the permit, whatever. And I know a lot of people on the other side that would say that he was murdered. You know, it shows depending on how you were raised, what privilege you have, you look at situations differently like that. I am of the personal belief that he was murdered.
Because, I mean, by law, he is supposed to show, like, especially if the cop was about to see his gun.
Right. You don't want a cop to just see your gun. Yeah. It wasn't even a white guy that killed him, by the way. But
no, I mean, it doesn't have to be a white guy doing it. Like, it's still just that profiling. Institutionalized racism is a thing.
There's all kinds of privilege, too. There's rich privilege. There's white privilege. There's, I think Paris Hilton has her own brand. And that you can buy at Sears.
Ain't no privilege sweeter than rich man privilege.
Especially rich white man privilege.
Oh, man.
If you are a rich white guy, like Republicans are, you are the tippy top of the mountain.
Republican politicians.
Yes. Because I know a lot of white Republicans that are not at the tippy top of the mountain.
No.
They stay in the gutter, and they will always stay in the gutter because they think next time.
Well, no, see, the big thing with a lot of those Republicans, like, legitimately, they might be, you know, in the gutter or whatever, but they believe that there is a class below them.
The mutants that live in the sewer.
The serfs are still a thing? The untouchables?
The untouchables.
What?
History.
I only know one Untouchables. That's Elliot Ness.
No.
And his gang that took down Al Capone.
Like way, 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 way back. Like, literally, these were people that you physically did not touch.
Lepers.
Oh, I know lepers.
But anyway.
Only because of Troy McClure and Leper in the Rye. One of my favorite movies.
But no, yeah, that's... Where did that even come from? Where did that?
The
oh
Simpsons.
Yeah, no, the no, I know where that came from. Troy, I know who Troy McClure is, sir. You wound me.
I apologize.
I know him from such films as
Dial M for Murderousness, The Erotic Adventures of Hercules.
Yeah. But anyway, no, that. Oh God, I don't even remember the point I was trying to make. Yeah, no, poor Republicans. They think there's somebody below them, so they. They like to keep the working class, and then basically the people below them would be the unemployed mooching off of welfare. Ignore their food stamps.
Bob's sister.
Doesn't she get food stamps?
I think she gets all stamps.
All stamps?
Like, I think that's her insurance company is all stamps. She just gets everything handed to her. She was told by her family not to get a job because it would affect her welfare. And her food stamps.
I mean, that's legitimately true in some cases. Like,
and she's white, by the way. I want to point that out. Like, Peaky Blinders is very white.
It's one of those things, like, there are a lot of cases where welfare, like, okay, my little brother, for example, he is, he just tried to apply for food stamps because where he works, they don't work over the summer. So basically everybody leaves, they apply for unemployment, they just draw unemployment for 3 months. And then they get, you know, rehired at the end of the 3 months. Like when the semester starts back up. Spoiler, he works on campus. Not gonna say where. The campus store. But anyway, so that's how that works. He got denied for food stamps because between his unemployment and his fiance's, server wages, they make too much money for food stamps. If she quit, the food stamps might actually make up her wages. And like, you know, how much they'd be worth to them.
I can't do that.
I mean, and they're not going to. Like, it's the difference isn't quite worth it. But yeah, no, it's a little silly.
No, nah, I can't. I told the story on Tuesday when we were talking about food. I don't know if you heard that episode. When my mom tried to give me the link card to go buy some food.
Yeah, I did. Yeah, because I listened to that episode.
I chose not to eat. I don't know about you guys. I have a pride thing. Stupid pride.
My family.
Very stupid pride. Because my family definitely needed the help.
My family's never been on food stamps. Like, Jake is the first person that's ever applied for it. The most government assistance anybody in my family's been on, my stepsister applied for WIC, which is like the...
It's women and children, infant and children.
Yeah. It's a program for new mothers of newborns.
Yep.
They can get, like, milk and stuff like that for kids.
Oh, yeah. I mean, some of that stuff's necessary. People can't make it on their own anymore.
No, yeah. Like,
it's a hard life.
Things are expensive.
Things are expensive, and people are working more than they ever have for less.
Oh, yeah.
I saw some statistic, and I can't remember what it was, but it was talking about how people in, you know, years ago, 20, 30 years ago, how much they worked versus how much they made. You know, 20, 30 years ago, a couple that worked 40 hours a week at a good-paying job had a house, they had cars, they could afford to live well. I can testify that two people living together on 40 hours a week at a good job each can barely squeak through sometimes.
Paycheck to paycheck.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, I mean, that's like, and the problem is where minimum wages, like you could, if you worked a factory job back in the 70s, working a factory job 40 hours a week, making barely over minimum wage or even at minimum wage meant that you could own a house and you could support a stay-at-home mother and a child.
Yeah. One person could support a whole family.
One income on minimum wage, near minimum wage.
And I mean, you wouldn't have the biggest house or the nicest car, but you would have a house and a car. You would survive and still be able to afford things.
Even looking at stats they had of how much groceries $20 would buy from the 60s up to current.
Yeah.
And it's like, you have full shopping carts 60s through the 80s, and then it just starts getting smaller and smaller and smaller. And oh, look, I have like Pop-Tarts.
And I mean, inflation is definitely a thing, but the problem is like wages haven't increased proportionately.
Right. Like, yeah, because you know, Lindsay and I both make a decent amount. Allie and Bob, our other roommates, both make decent amounts. And three of us work full-time. Bob works almost full-time. Mm. And Bob has the least amount of bills, though. And we're all broke. Constantly.
Yeah.
Only reason I'm going to Money in the Bank on Sunday is because the ticket machine gave it to me.
You know? The ticket machine was working.
The ticket machine was working for this one. Yeah. It's depressing. I got rid of most of my collections.
The
computer. The computer breaks. Everything breaks.
Yeah.
Everything's always breaking.
The car, the computer, the air conditioning.
My hernia.
That too.
Thank God that the lovely listeners of Podzilla 1985 were kind enough to help me out with that, which, by the way, I am going to call for that consultation next week. And then I will keep you updated about how my health is. Now, the contingency plan is if I die on the table, which is a very real probability, if I die on the table, Jesse Kimball will take full control of Podzilla 1985. He will have to assign a new right-hand man. My suggestion would be Ethan. And it's up to you guys to carry on this great legacy that we've got, this great legacy.
You're not going to die.
I'm stalling because Jesse's looking at his phone.
Well, basically, like, I'm still
He's looking up something
you.
Important, I'm assuming.
No, I was actually looking up because I was trying to remember the number of what minimum wage, like, you know, based for inflation, like what minimum wage should be now.
Right.
And I could. Because
it's still what, $7.70 in Missouri?
It's $7.25 here right now, I think. Or maybe it's higher now.
I think
now.
It's a little higher now, but. We, you know, I don't want to give exacts about how much we make, but it's well over $7, all of us.
Yeah.
That everyone here makes. And we're all broke.
Most of the time.
And my God, when you have a little bit of money and you can finally buy yourself something nice as a reminder that life's not all about working and being miserable.
Then something breaks.
Something expensive breaks.
Or Lindsay drives into another truck.
Lindsay T-bones like a goddamn idiot. I could tell you how much easier life would be right now if she hadn't T-boned that car, but I'm not going to do that because I love Lindsay.
Oh, God. You guys can't see the smile on Shannon's face right now, but it's
Yeah,
it's,
I know I effed
horrifying.
Up. I'm sorry.
I effed up, too. Remember that time I
bent the car door backwards?
That was funny.
No, it wasn't.
That was funny because that same crackhead that comes into my store every other day to ask for 54 cents offered to fix it for us, then asked me for 54 cents.
And then yelled at some lady in the car.
Some lady drove by and yelled at him for bothering us, and he yelled at, oh, shut up, bitch. And then he looked at us, he's like, that's my sister. Sir, I do not believe that was your sister.
That's not true. That was not your sister.
I really, off topic, but I really like that scarecrow skin. Jesse has Injustice 2 playing on the TV while we do this, and he's letting the computer play it, and he's got a scarecrow skin with like white, like a glowing white light in his face.
Yeah, no, it's really cool.
That's really awesome. He's also playing Red Hood. Well, the computer's playing Red Hood since we just unlocked that guy. I'm still stalling. They just announced, Sub-Zero. Yes. So Horoscope today said, okay, thank God.
So, I mean, well, I'm looking at a bunch of different stuff and, you know, obviously like there are studies and like research and like things all over the place for both sides because a lot of the results I'm getting are people arguing why $15 an hour is a bad idea.
Yeah.
And, honestly, that's just the hardcore propaganda machine trying to stop that at all costs. But either way,
I don't know. I think we've said this before. What would happen if a store like this one that if you believe the numbers, and I have no choice but to believe them because, you know, I don't know business. That's why I work for someone. If he barely squeaks by paying his employees minimum wage or less than minimum wage, then would bumping everybody up to 15 an hour minimum, wouldn't that ruin him?
Basically, he would have to start working in this store himself.
Yeah. He would have to let his employees go.
Yeah.
You
like
know?
He may be able to keep one or two, which is what most small businesses do anyway. Like, the fact that he makes enough money to employ a staff so that he can keep working full-time at his other job is actually really astounding for a small business. I mean, look at most, like, can you name another small business that has a, like, a mom-and-pop shop that has a staff?
Breedaville. That's not a mom-and-pop shop, probably.
No. When Breedaville started, like, it was just the owner and one or two employees working there. It's just gotten big enough that, you know, it can support a staff.
Right.
And I mean, but Breedaville's been open for over 20 years at this point.
I like how Windows 10 decided to suddenly send me constant messages about what has been happening on my Facebook and all that. And it just keeps blocking the screen so I can't see how the audio is going. And that's dangerous when the audio goes out. Because then what are people going to do with their time? They could go to Fight TV and watch the first episode of Cape Championship Wrestling Chaos, which is available for free right now, and you can listen to myself, Asa Dalton, and Allie call the play-by-play on that show. You could do that, and it also airs every Wednesday at 6 p.m. live on Fight TV.
That's a good plan.
Except that if your audio's not working, they didn't hear any of it.
Yeah, well. All right, so anyway, going touché. Back, one of the things that I'm looking at, minimum wage right now by standards of inflation and cost or like level of production. Minimum wage should be $21.72, according to one study.
Dang!
Yeah. That's actually as of 2012. This is 5 years old, like this article. And yeah, it takes a lot, like it's actually pretty well researched. It takes a lot of stuff into account, including, yeah, like I said, productivity is the big one. And, you know, what wages look like. Apparently, minimum wage in terms of like from, in terms of productivity to wages, peaked in 1968. And yeah, it's been kind of like going down ever since. Basically, we have been working harder and longer for less money ever since 1968.
I think of that Simpsons joke where Homer is working and he says, well, if I got this tough, the boys up top have even tougher. And then it shows Mr. Burns and Smithers like throwing money at each other and having a money fight. Yeah, the rich get richer and the poor get poorer. And that actually, that reminds me of something else I wanted to talk about. We just watched a trailer for a documentary that's coming to Netflix soon called, I think it's like The Free Press versus Nunspoken or something like that. You won. I'm surprised as you are. And I originally clicked on it because it said it was a trailer about the Hulk Hogan Gawker trial. And instead, it turns into literally rich people versus the freedom of the press and how they're apparently a billionaire was funding Hulk Hogan's trial because Gawker outed him as gay 9 years before that, and he was looking for revenge. I don't get the correlation between Hulk Hogan's trial other than that one thing, but to say that Hulk Hogan's trial was an attack on free press, I'm all for free press. Look at this show. We are Mr. Free Press. But that is ridiculous. That is a sex tape that was filmed without his consent and released to a website. That's not free speech. That is not vital information that needs to be known and someone's trying to suppress it. That's a person who was taped illegally trying to stop everyone from seeing his sex tape that was sold without his consent to Gawker.com. I don't understand how you make that an argument against freedom of speech. Am I crazy?
No. Like it's...
No one wanted to see Hulk Hogan naked in the first place. That's true.
I mean... Well, how long ago was it?
Nine years ago.
Oh, never mind.
That was still like 60s Hogan.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, no, like, if you had said, like, if this video had been recorded in the 80s, like, the 80s I'm sure there are a lot of people that are like, yeah, all right.
Same hair. Same hair. That's the weird part. But no, we've talked about the Hulk Hogan trial extensively on Pro Wrestling Unscripted, and I just think it's a little ridiculous how everything becomes an assault on free press. There is definitely a war on the free press right now with, you know, the Republicans and the fake news and stuff like that. But the Hogan trial was not part of that.
No.
So I don't understand how the hell they drew that connection. And if I'm wrong, you guys let me know.
I mean, the only way they, like, I can almost see it in that, cause that got Gawker shut down, didn't it?
Yeah, Gawker's done because of Hogan.
Yeah.
He dropped a leg.
So the only reason I can see it is like, or the only reason I can see the comparison is because of Hogan, that news outlet no longer exists.
Yeah, but Gawker, you know, Gawker was a trash site.
I had never heard of Gawker before this.
Gawker is one of those sites that publishes like rumors and publishes nasty stories about celebrities. It's like TMZ, just worse. It's media takeout, but worse. And they deserve to be shut down because that's not journalism. That's garbage journalism. You know, that's like saying wrestling is people in a backyard throwing each other on spikes and glass. That's not glass. That's garbage wrestling. This was garbage news. And news like that doesn't need, I mean, okay, freedom of speech, sure. You can report on anything as long as it's true. But I don't see how exploiting people's personal lives for hits should be considered news.
Yeah, no, like, don't get me wrong. Like, I absolutely disagree with, like, how they handled that whole Hogan situation. Like, they got the tape and they leaked it, and that's messed up. Like, you got, I don't like that. I don't like it at all.
Yeah, because, you know, they, how many people came to the defense of people like Jennifer Lawrence? And, who else was that? Michaela Maroney.
Oh, yeah. Basically all the people from the Fappening.
The Fappening. Everyone came to their defense and this was wrong. This is terrible.
Cause, you know, these are disgusting people that went on and they stole this stuff from their private.
And exploited these people for whatever, you know?
Yeah. And I mean, and I agree that, yeah, that was wrong. That shouldn't have hit the internet. That was messed up.
And Hogan's the exact same thing.
I was about to say, there's no real difference between that and Hogan as long as it's true that Hogan did not consent to being filmed.
No,
Hogan did not know he was being filmed.
Right. And they've all testified to that. The difference between Hogan and these celebrities is that these celebrities took private pictures and videos and uploaded it to their own cloud or phone or whatever. And it was stolen. And that's terrible. And Hogan was videotaped, you know, without his knowledge. And that tape was leaked, which is also terrible.
Yeah. Cause in my opinion, like, it's actually Hogan's in that case would be a little bit worse because at least the celebrities, and again, awful.
Yeah.
They knew those images existed.
But they took them for their own personal use, which is their right, and they should not be condemned for.
Correct.
Hogan was done without his knowledge, and yeah, it's just bad. And that people would try to use that as an argument for the freedom of speech. Like, what are you defending? Are you trying to defend
basically
exploiting people?
Yeah, I was going
to
say, what you're arguing there is not freedom of speech. You are arguing the freedom, or the freedom to, what am I looking for? You're arguing for an invasion of privacy.
Yeah.
Like, people, you are arguing that celebrities should not be entitled to a private life.
Right. Would they have been upset if those Jennifer Lawrence pictures, instead of going to, like, all the different, you know, trash sites that people put up, if it had gone to Gawker.com as a breaking story, would people have defended that? Or would they have not defended it because she's Jennifer Lawrence and he's Hulk Hogan?
I mean, it went to the big websites like the Fappening did. Like, the, I mean, one of those websites didn't break it, I guess.
And most of
maybe
them,
that's
and,
your point.
And they've all been shut down at this point. But there was no outrage for Hogan on this. You know, everyone.
Well, because wasn't everybody pissed at Hogan at the time anyway for other stuff?
Well, because in the same video, that's the video where he said the N-word over and over again. And you know, you can make the argument this happened, you know, 9 years ago. Hogan is a born again Christian. He's tried to fix his life. Whatever, you know, that's fine. I don't want to get into that because that's none of my business. I don't want to use that as an excuse to defend the man, but, you know, regardless of the way he thinks or what he said, no one deserves to be exploited like that. You know, again, you can't pick and choose who it's right and what's wrong. It's like when they punched Richard Spencer, the Nazi. Of course, everyone liked punching Richard Spencer. He's a Nazi. But at the same time, that doesn't make it right.
Right.
You know,
there's
and it's shit like that. That's when you start seeing things like the Republicans being shot at their softball game. When people started to get a twisted sense of what is white, right, and what is wrong, and they take the law into their own hands and stuff like that. This is all connected, and it's all terrible.
Yes.
That's my piece.
Violence, bad. I got nothing else to add to it.
Unless that violence is on Fight TV, Wednesdays at 6 p.m.
Unless it's for entertainment purposes between two consenting
wrestling
adults.
Oh, God. Or, I mean, they had a four-way in the first match.
Between consenting adults.
Yes.
Get rid of two.
Can I just say one more controversial topic?
Yeah, sure.
And then we'll
not
talk about something happy that Lindsay will.
How much time do we have left? Surely there's
40
not
minutes. We've been going for 20 minutes.
That is not true.
That's
that
it?
I was about to say, your laptop is frozen. We have lost the last several
like
minutes.
That is a very long 20 minutes, sir.
And that makes me sad, too, because I thought it was good discussion.
It was.
So, Megyn Kelly. You know Megyn Kelly?
No.
It sounds really familiar.
She was a Fox News anchor. She was one of the people that came out against Roger Ailes for sexual harassment. She wrote a book about it. She is the one that said, whether it was jokingly or not, that there's okay, the computer froze up there for a second. So,
oh God,
if there was a skip in the past few seconds, I apologize.
Because I have noticed that happened on Tuesday's show too. There was a
skip?
End, yeah.
I hate it, and sometimes I don't notice it because it will work again. So apologies for that. This poor laptop, my poor Star Wars laptop that I've taken so much care of and I love so much, in the process of moving, fell and is damaged, and I'm hoping it's not damaged the actual computer part. But anyway, back to Megyn Kelly. Megyn Kelly was the Fox News anchor who said famously, "There's only Santa's just white."
Ooh.
Remember her? Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And people say she was joking. Whatever. She moved to NBC now. She doesn't work for Fox News anymore. And one of the people she interviewed Putin recently, which was a blockbuster. That she interviewed Putin, right?
Right.
She seems to have abandoned her Fox News style of ambush journalism and of controversial right is white is right is right, whatever. Any of those three would have worked, by the way. Well, now she is losing advertisers left and right for her new NBC show because she, and this ties back to the original thing we talked about, because she decided to interview Alex Jones.
Okay.
You know Alex Jones?
Yeah. Nope. Of InfoWars.
Of InfoWars. The screaming red idiot who said that Sandy Hook was a hoax. And it says the biggest, dumbest things. She's losing advertisers now because people are saying you shouldn't have him on the network. You shouldn't allow him to go on your show and say things. And she said kind of what I said earlier of, no, I want to bring him on and I want to debate his points. I want to show that he's wrong. What do you think about that, Jesse? Is that the same thing? Are we talking the same thing that we talked about earlier, or is this different?
I mean, it is pretty much the same thing, except I guess what she wanted to do was, in front of her own viewers, kind of, I guess, try to prove him wrong on a national scale.
Mm-hmm.
Basically, to not to change his mind, but to try and change someone else's mind.
To show him for the fool that he is.
Right. And on that note, like, I can almost see wanting to bring him on. I can also see a lot of advertisers not wanting to be associated with anybody that's willing to associate themselves with Alex Jones because he is a garbage human being.
He's a human dumpster fire.
Yeah. So, like, on, yeah, no, it's.
He's the embodiment, human embodiment of a fidget spinner.
Aww. It's one of those things, like, it's a weird line. Like, there are arguments for both sides that I can see on this one.
Would you be comfortable doing that on our show?
Bringing on someone to make a fool out of them?
Yes.
No.
So you're against that too?
Yeah.
All right. So I'm scratching Nate off the guest list.
No, it's one of those things like it's what our show isn't meant to bring people on and just make fools out of them. Like, I don't want to do that. It's kind of the same reason that, and we should probably do the same thing for Nate. I've been, you know, a proponent lately of using nicknames for people. So that they're not, you know, associated on this show. Like, we're not putting them publicly on blast.
Nate, I still think Nate's a good, I don't hate Nate. I think he's a decent person who makes a lot of mistakes. So,
I mean, I don't hate Nate. I just don't want Nate in my life.
I said we don't put Nate on the same level as other people that we do have nicknames for on the show, though.
Right.
So, if you want to nickname him, that's fine. We can.
Just anytime we trash any person instead of using the real name.
I don't think we've trashed Nate. Because I think we've made it very clear that we don't want to associate with his views, but that we think he's a decent guy compared to other people like Alex Jones who are just dumpster fires.
And I mean, Alex Jones we can call out. I mostly mean like personal to us.
Okay,
like
I got you.
Scarecrow and Redacted. Like, I think those are two perfect examples of people that require nicknames.
Yeah.
And
but we go hard on them.
We do.
We don't even go hard on Redacted anymore.
We haven't in a long
time. Not in a long time. I haven't thought about that person other than his, what I understand, are still feeble attempts to try to badmouth me in public. Good luck.
He's trying to take Mr. 100 down.
Everyone loves the Irish daddy. That's why he's doing well.
And everybody hates Redacted.
Yeah.
Most people. Most people really dislike Redacted.
I won't touch that with a 10-foot pole.
But anyway, yeah, like, going back, I wouldn't want that on the show just because it's not something I want to do. It doesn't sound fun to me. It doesn't sound entertaining.
That's the same reason that I pulled last night's show was that it was not fun. It was not entertaining. The parts that I don't want on there.
Mm.
It was Andy Kaufman-esque. It was funny to the people that were doing it and no one else.
Right.
And to me, that's not entertainment. That's not what we want for this show.
And if we bring someone like Nate on the show to try and make a fool out of him for his beliefs, all we're going to do is hurt his feelings.
Yeah.
Like, people are going to listen to it. Like, all of our listeners already disagree with Nate anyway, most of them.
Yeah.
To an extent. Yeah, well, Nate doesn't listen to us.
That's a shame.
You know Nate doesn't listen to us. You'd get a Facebook message several weeks.
We need those listens.
We need all of them we can
get. Hey, we're doing better than we've ever done before, though.
And that's really true.
Thank you guys for making our show better and better every month. You guys are awesome, by the way. The ones that we haven't alienated with our turbo-lib views.
Yeah. So... So anyway, no, like if she wants to do that on her show, that's her prerogative. And like, I understand what she was trying to do and that's fine. But like I said, I understand completely from an advertiser's point of view. Like if I was giving her money to do her show and she told me that Alex Jones is like, she invited Alex Jones, like,
right.
I'm going to need that back.
And that's the important, I think to me, that's the most important part of media like this, podcasts and YouTube when it was allowing it. You know, places that are independent, you can have people on like Alex Jones. You can have people on that people might not agree with, and you can debate, you can do whatever without fear of having to push an agenda because that's what the advertisers want. That's why I don't like mainstream media, because everything you see on there is just to get you to watch so they can sell you more advertisements. They sell more advertisement space. That's it. That's why the news does 90% of what it does. Like, when was the last time you heard about killer bees or anthrax? Or of H, what was it?
H1Z1? No, that's the zombie thing. H1V1.
H1V1. Like, when's the last time you heard about these things? These things still exist. It's just they find new things to terrorize you with, so that way you'll watch and they'll sell you more advertisers. They'll sell more advertisers on it. And I truly believe that there is a war against the media right now. We need to support CNN and MSNBC and even Fox News. We need to support these people because they are journalists. But at the same time, once all this blows over, and Trump is hopefully booted out of office and the country gets back on the right track, it's going to be important to keep independent media safe so that way you can have access to news without an agenda.
Right.
That's why Fox literally dropped fair and balance from their slogan. Did you hear about that?
I did.
Yeah.
But they changed it to something that's it's along those same lines.
Most watched, most trusted.
Yeah. Well, okay. No, that's accurate.
Half of it's accurate. It is the most watched channel. It really is.
And it's very trusted by all of those people.
That's very, very true. Let's talk about something happy before we get out of here this week. Lindsay, did you see? No, you haven't seen anything.
No, I haven't because my computer's been dead.
But that's back now, and I got something to show you tonight.
Okay.
It's the new DuckTales intro.
Really?
It's up. Have you seen it, Jesse?
No.
It's.
But I like the old DuckTales. Dun, 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 dun.
It's still the same song.
Is it?
Yeah, it's just redone.
I mean, okay. Is it like all of them singing it before? Like,
no.
We saw that.
No, this is one singer. This is the legit intro with the animation.
Okay.
And it's, I don't know. It's so soft compared to the original. That it doesn't give me those same feelings, but I thought it was pretty good. I was hoping maybe you guys had seen it already.
I haven't. Uh-huh. Like, I've been kind of like,
you've
away
been off
the
radar the
internet
this
yeah.
week. Yeah. We like, missed you in the group chat. You know what your name is in there?
Well, no, I don't.
I don't either. But it's
did they change from Bubsy? Cause I didn't know what I was when I was Bubsyzilla.
It was just a level from Bubsy. That was it. Now it is. Franchise Killer Zilla, 1985. Oh. We picked up the games that ruined everybody. I think I put yours as Superman 64.
Oh, man. Okay, never mind. I actually did have a lot of fun with the Super Nintendo version of Superman.
Well, not only that, but just the fact that, like, because I originally called you Mortal Kombat versus DC, but Asa was like, maybe I should have that one. I'm like, okay. So then I gave you Superman 64 just because, you know, DC, and I couldn't think of a – I almost put you as Batman Forever because that was a terrible game. But then I thought, but Superman's so much worse.
Yeah. I mean, Superman 64, there has – no, never mind. Superman Returns for the
– Super Nintendo.
Well, no, for the Xbox 360 Superman 64. Yeah. Yeah, no, like, I wasn't gonna say there's not a good Superman game out there, cause, like I said, the Super Nintendo one.
Yeah.
I don't know if it's actually good.
No, the Death and Return of Superman was solid.
Yeah, that
was
the
solid beat 'em up.
Yeah, I really, really enjoyed that game back in the day.
The only good Superman games that exist now are ones where he is with someone else.
Like Injustice.
Or, Justice League Heroes.
Oh, yeah.
Lego Batman, stuff like that. Whereas Batman has the Arkham series.
Mm-hmm.
Which is arguably the best video games based on superheroes ever.
I mean, yeah, I like,
oh,
it's,
that's a hard question, Jesse. What is the best superhero video game?
Oh, God.
Because I know what my favorite is, and that's X-Men Legends.
Oh,
I had more fun with that than probably any superhero game ever. I'm gonna throw an old one at you real quick.
All right, what you got?
That you might not remember. Lindsay remembers this one. City of Heroes.
Yes.
I remember City of Heroes.
Not based on any particular, actually it was based on like an indie comic if I remember correctly. But it was just a
fun game. It may have been, but yeah, no, and then they did City of Champions, Yeah, no, like that was entertaining. Yeah. I got it like on the super cheap and played for like the first month. I actually got Trevor Camp to play with me and we tried making some villains and it was enjoyable.
Were you the guys the one, no, it was Bob that made the guy on City of Heroes named Purple People Eat? Cause he couldn't put Purple People Eater. And he had Smash Things. That was
Smash
his whole
thing.
Yeah,
Smash Things.
I love it. No, yeah, that was a fun game. Like Marvel Ultimate Alliance is amazing. Love that game. It's really similar to the X-Men Legends. There's a side scroll beat 'em up on the Sega Genesis that was just the Avengers that I remember having a whole lot of fun with.
Captain America and the Avengers?
Yeah. Cause it had, you could play as Iron Man, Cap, or
Hawkeye and Vision.
Cause I couldn't remember, cause we always just played Iron Man and Cap back in the day.
Right. I remember seeing that game, when I was younger, the school would take us to like a roller dirt or ice skating rink or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
And I couldn't skate. So I just played arcade games and that game was there. And I remember going, what the hell's a Vision? I had no idea who Vision was.
Back in the day, I definitely had no idea who Vision was. I only knew who Hawkeye was because like, oh yeah, he's the archer guy.
Yeah. With the purple and the.
Because, boy, he was bright purple.
Yeah, he was.
Back in the day.
They really upgraded him for the movies.
Yeah. No, just modern era comics in general, it made him look a lot better. But yeah, no, there was that, obviously, like that old X-Men side scroll.
Genesis?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, for the console release, the second one, the arcade game, the one that they got down at Coin-Op Cantina.
Best place for arcade games.
Yeah. And liquor. And craft beer.
Yeah.
But anyway, yeah, cheapest craft beer in town. Like, that's awesome. Anywho, that one was free.
We gotta get them sponsoring us.
Right?
Yeah.
Anyway, yeah, they've got the X-Men cabinet down there that's just a phenomenal side scroller. I don't know if they ever released that on console though.
Later. It's on Xbox Live and, I believe the PlayStation Store. But
oh, nice. But never hit like Genesis or Super Nintendo.
No.
Yeah, because I remember, whenever I first started working at Gaming Grounds, I actually bought for Genesis the first X-Men game. And I was like, oh, this isn't the one I thought it was.
This isn't the good one.
Cause I played it and I was like, my God, this is so hard.
Wait, you mean I can't use Wolverine's claws? That doesn't make any sense.
Doesn't make any sense at all. What do you mean Wolverine hurts it? No, anyway. then I bought the sequel and that was a whole lot harder than I remember it being.
But fun.
So much fun. And did you ever play Spider-Man and the X-Men?
Arcade's Revenge?
Yes.
Yes.
I loved that game.
Man, I did too, except that one was really difficult as well.
Yeah.
And it was like,
I don't remember often making it far.
No, I didn't either. And I remember playing the Genesis X-Men game and it being so gorgeous and looking just like the comics. Like the Jim Lee style especially.
The second one. Anyway.
The second one.
Yeah.
And then I played X-Men Spider-Man Arcade's Revenge on Super Nintendo.
Cause that was before the Jim Lee X-Men happened.
It looked like shit. The characters were tiny. The graphics were awful. And I remember thinking, this is bad. But it was fun. I still liked it.
Especially like I love swinging around as Spider-Man. Like yeah. It was really frustrating.
Yeah. That was
But I the, really enjoyed it.
That was the first Spider-Man game I ever played. And then Maximum Carnage came out.
Oh
and
my
then,
God, yes.
Separation Anxiety with Venom.
Separation Anxiety was probably the, that was one of the side scroll games that me and my little brother, I think, put more time into any other because we could actually play as Spider-Man and Venom.
And it was awesome.
Oh my God, it was awesome.
Yeah.
Loved that game.
I loved all those superhero games. Those were so good. We gotta get out of here though. We gotta call it a night. Before we do, I want to remind our listeners to go to patreon.com/podzilla1985.
You're not gonna let me let that go, are you?
I said, did you listen to Tuesday show?
Yeah, I did.
All of it? Because I gave it the hard plug at the end. And I specifically said that, you know, I mentioned what you said, and I was like, but he's not wrong. We don't plug it. We don't.
Well, no, and I feel like a lot of it was kind of taken out of context because I asked in the group chat. I was just like, hey, since I don't listen to PWU, do you guys ever plug the Patreon on PWU? Dalton said, no, we don't. And I was like, okay, cool. That was it. And then Dalton was like, why? So then I was, and I told him I was just thinking about it that morning. I was like, we don't really have any PWU listeners on the Patreon list. And, so I was wondering if that was because, like, it wasn't getting plugged, which is fine if it's not. I was just curious. And I, like, why there weren't any PWU listeners on the list. So that was all. That was all it was.
There's a lot of PWU listeners on the list, if you know what I mean.
We
did though. We at one point did. It's just the joke became a joke because Dalton could never get it right. Dalton would always do the plugs at the end of the show, but he could never get it right. And eventually we just kept making fun of him for it and he just stopped doing it. But I do want to plug it right now because I didn't realize how big Patreon was and how important it can be to fledgling podcasts like ours. We're growing month after month, more listeners, more bandwidth, all that stuff. So we appreciate anything that people want to donate if they enjoy our show that much. So if you guys do want to do that, patreon.com/podzilla1985. I think we're going to take a look at some of the gifts and stuff. And maybe redo a couple of them, because the first one I noticed was for like $1, you get on the website.
Yeah.
And there was one that specifically said Nerd Up. It was like, you get this on Nerd Up. And I thought, well maybe Mr. 105 Star Man wants a piece of that action.
No, is there really? Cause I thought.
But I don't remember what. Here, let me look it up real quick. You talk real quick.
All right. Well, yeah, cause I thought the tiers were.
Wasn't you get like a shout out on your show, the show of your choice?
No, that's
choice
usually said the show of your choice. There was something that said Nerd Up though. I'm going to look it up.
Cause it was, you get the $1 gets your name on the website forever. $5 you get a shout out for the dollar. We'll shout out on whatever show, and then
maybe that's what it is. Maybe it said that one is just for Nerd Up.
I don't know. Maybe. Cause I think, like, if that's the case, I wrote that because you still weren't comfortable with us doing Patreon at all. And I didn't want to put you on the hook for giving anyone a shout out.
Yeah. A special shout out from the PZ85 crew on Nerd Up and have your name immortalized on our page.
That's the dollar one. Yeah. Okay.
Which is fine because you pay attention to it more than I do. And that's just the truth. But, I do want to say that we appreciate you guys for supporting us. And if you do want to support us, patreon.com/podzilla1985. It means a lot to us and it helps with all of these bills. Cause stuff breaks all the time. Just for
yeah,
the
no, like it's one of those things like that money has like it pays for the podcast to run each month. So it's not coming like directly from me and Shannon anymore because we were paying for it out of pocket.
Yep.
It's paid for like equipment's broken down and it's paid for that.
Multiple times.
Yeah. It's paid for new equipment, microphone stands. Like, no, the Patreon has been ridiculously helpful in keeping us up and running.
Yes. I agree.
And I like if we've got any of you listeners out there that are subscribed to the Patreon, like, thank you so much. You are the reason we're still going.
And if you want to subscribe to the Patreon, again, patreon.com/podzilla1985, I'll give you a personal shout out on the show. Austin Lane, if you're listening, I want to get you on that patreon.com. We're going to get out of here. We'll be back on Sunday with Nerd Up. It's going to be a big Nerd Up, a giant size Nerd Up is what I hear they call it these days. And we're going to talk about E3. That's exciting. And we're going to go see Money in the Bank later that night. So
yeah,
should be a good time. Thank you guys for listening. Don't forget to check out that patreon.com/podzilla1985. That's like 6 of them in this one show. You guys have a great weekend. If you're going to Money in the Bank in St. Louis on Sunday, we'll see you there. Have a good night.